Iran has a new civilian government today, but that didn't stop thousands of demonstrators from holding anti-Shah rallies in the capital city of Tehran. CBS News correspondent Bob McNamara has more.
Shops and banks were closed in the center of the city, and again there were demonstrations. Today, roving bands of young men moved through alleys and avenues, staging short marches, setting fires in the streets, and creating brief protest rallies. Then soldiers, troops of the Iranian Air Force, came in with bursts of submachine gun fire and tried to disperse the crowds. Again, the old chant of death to the Shah could be heard, but added to the chorus were new lyrics condemning the just-appointed Prime Minister, Shapur Bakhtiar. In many cases, troops today tried to scatter the crowds with a wave of the hand, but at times the shooting was intense and it echoed through the city. For the second day in a row, there are newspapers. Tehran papers publishing again after a strike by journalists that had shut down the industry for 62 days. Reporters and editors went on strike protesting censorship by the secret police, which had virtually reduced news reporting here to covering weddings and social functions, not allowing anything to be said about the wave of discontent with the Shah or the death in the streets of cities around the country. Bob McNamara, CBS News, Tehran.
The World This Week. Welcome to New Year. With the new year came a new China connection and bitter words from the old.
We shall return with the same flag, the national flag of the Republic of China.
Iran this week got a new government, but the anti-Shah demonstrations continued there and in Beverly Hills, which drew a warning from the U.S. Attorney General.
All participants will be deported from this country to the extent that the law permits or requires.
A new name emerged into full prominence in Iran this week, Shapur Bakhtiar, one-time opponent of the Shah, now at the Shah's behest, prime minister, head of a new government, shepherding transition from autocracy to a kind of constitutional monarchy, an effort to make order of chaos. Bert Quint reports from Tehran.
The Shah hopes, and the new prime minister seems to be cooperating with him, that he will be able to retain his throne, albeit at the cost of most of his power. To make the plan work, Prime Minister Bakhtiar and his aides must restore order to the country and movement to its economy. The Shah said yesterday he would leave the country temporarily, the idea being to encourage his religious and political opposition to end their struggle. He would return as the kind of monarch Great Britain, for example, has. The plan is opposed from two sides. Unreconciled opposition leaders say they will keep fighting until the Shah abdicates. Elements within Iran's army reportedly are determined to prevent civilian rule. There is talk in Tehran today of a plan by the Imperial Guard to seize power if it looks as though the Shah is being forced to abdicate. This is impossible to confirm. But American officials here believe the possibility of a coup is real and are trying to convince Iranian officers that it would be unwise. Bert Quint, CBS News, Tehran.
But the new government in Iran has failed to end the street demonstrations and strikes there. While hatred for the Shah reached Beverly Hills, California early this week, perhaps 1,000 Iranian exchange students at the home of the Shah's sister, throwing rocks, setting fires, and battling police. Attorney General Griffin Bell warned that those who break U.S. laws may be deported.
President Carter will be back Tuesday night from a holiday on the Caribbean island of Guadeloupe that followed his summit meeting there with the leaders of France, Britain, and Germany. The crisis in Iran will be among his immediate problems. Efforts already are underway to lay the groundwork for ties with an Iran without the Shah. Plans also have recently been updated to try to ensure the safety of billions of dollars worth of fighter jets and other secret military equipment in case the situation in Iran turns more strongly anti-United States.
An Iranian government plane believed to be carrying members of the family of the Shah landed Monday night at McGuire Air Force Base, New Jersey. The passengers then got on a smaller Iranian plane, which took off heading southwest. There is a report saying the Shah and his family will take up temporary residence at the estate of Walter Annenberg near Palm Springs, California. Annenberg, a millionaire, is the former American ambassador to Britain. The Shah himself is expected to leave Iran on Tuesday for eventual settlement in the United States.
Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. With tears in his eyes, the Shah of Iran today left the country that he has ruled for well over half of his 59 years. And as we hear from Bert Quint, he may never come back.
The Shah left Iran today on a journey that he likes to think of as a vacation, but which could well be the end of his 37-year reign. He left aboard one of his private jet airliners, destination Aswan, Egypt, where he is expected to be the guest of President Sadat. With the Shah was his wife, the Empress. They reportedly carried with them a container of Iranian soil. The Shah was quoted as saying that he was leaving Iran because he was tired and that he would return when health permitted. At just about the time the royal plane took off, the lower house of parliament was approving the cabinet and program of the man the Shah had asked to be prime minister, Shapur Bakhtiar. The Senate gave its approval yesterday. A regency council was formed last Saturday to take over the monarch's functions in his absence. Thus, he left a functioning government, one beset by enormous problems, but at least established legally under Iran's constitution. The announcement of his departure was made by Iranian National Radio. The first public reaction was a blast of automobile horns in the city streets by jubilant Iranians that now has lasted for hours. Bert Quint, CBS News, Tehran.
The Shah's family is already in the United States. Three of his children and his mother-in-law arrived during the night at Reese Air Force Base in Texas, where his son, the Crown Prince, is taking pilot training. The Shah's implacable enemy, Ayatollah Khomeini, is still at his place of exile near Paris, but unofficial reports say he may return to Iran by the end of the week. Khomeini has declared his intention to set up his own government there. He calls the Bakhtiar regime illegal. He says his government will confiscate the Shah's personal fortune, including money in foreign banks. Signs of opposition to the Shah have cropped up at the Iranian embassy in Washington, but Diane Sawyer reports that the large majority of diplomats stationed there have taken issue with a letter of dissent written by several of their colleagues.
The letter, released yesterday, accused the current Iranian ambassador, Ardeshir Zahedi, of participating in a conspiracy against the interests of the Iranian nation. Zahedi is a close friend of the Shah and has recently been in Iran advising the Shah on his future course of action. The protesting diplomats said they would declare a strike until Zahedi is replaced, and there had even been rumors that they would try to keep him out of the embassy building. An official at the embassy said that most of the diplomats there were upset by the letter and had agreed to counter the protest with their own proclamation of sympathy for the situation in Iran and those involved in it, presumably including the Shah. As for Zahedi, he returned to his chancery residence last night without incident, saying that when he heard of the letter and the rumors he would be barred from entering the building, he laughed. Diane Sawyer, CBS News, Washington.
At one time, Zahedi was married to a daughter of the Shah. A strong earthquake shook northern Iran this morning. At the moment, no word on casualties or damage. CBS News. The Shah of Iran has begun his so-called vacation out of the country, one which many believe may lead to permanent exile. This is Dallas Townsend reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Egyptian President Sadat was on hand to greet the Shah when the monarch arrived several hours ago at the Egyptian resort city of Aswan. The Shah was at the controls of the Iranian military jet that took him out of the country after he bade a tearful farewell to members of the palace staff in Tehran. His departure came after Parliament gave final approval to the new civilian government that will try to run the nation during the Shah's absence. It's not known how long he will remain in Egypt. It is expected that from there he will travel to the United States. In Paris, the exiled Iranian religious leader Ayatollah Khomeini said the Shah's departure is the first step toward ending 50 years of what he called tyrannical rule in Iran. Khomeini said he would return to Iran to set up a provisional government at the proper time, but there's no indication when that will be. For Iran, the agony seems to be endless. Troops and secret police, apparently still loyal to the Shah, in the southern oil city of Ahvaz this morning opened fire on demonstrators celebrating his departure yesterday. The same thing happened at Arak in the western part of the country. Unconfirmed reports reaching Tehran say many people were killed or wounded. Adding to the misery, the death toll from yesterday's earthquake is now estimated by Iranian newspapers at more than 1,000, with at least another 1,000 injured. More anti-Shah sentiment developed in Tehran this morning, and Mike Lee has an eyewitness report.
Hundreds of demonstrators gathered this morning at the site of the Shah Reza statue in Tehran. The statue itself, a monument to the Shah's father, was torn down yesterday, and in its place is a poster of Muslim leader Ayatollah Khomeini. Khomeini's followers were this morning still celebrating the Shah's departure. Street marches clog traffic throughout the city. However, the crowds are not as large as yesterday when the Shah departed. Despite reports of trouble between protesters and Iranian soldiers in other cities, the army was virtually nowhere in sight in Tehran.
The strike by businesses and shops is still on, and street vendors are the only merchants doing any business. One of the largest businesses is now the selling of Khomeini posters. One of the largest mysteries is how the political crisis will be resolved, through compromise between Khomeini and the government, through more demonstrations, or by a military coup. Mike Lee, CBS News, Tehran.
The Shah, his wife, and a large entourage are now at the Egyptian resort city of Aswan. He met three times there yesterday with President Sadat. He'll see him again tomorrow and will also confer with Gerald Ford. The former president is touring the Middle East with Mrs. Ford. Sometime in the near future, presumably, the Iranian monarch will come to this country, a prospect that CBS News White House correspondent Robert Pierpoint says is viewed in Washington with some concern.
Although several U.S. officials have said the Shah is welcome to come to the United States, his presence here could only add to the problems he has already caused this country. For example, ask if the Secret Service or the State Department would provide security for the Shah. Assistant Secretary Hodding Carter says that as long as he is the chief of state, the Shah would be eligible for the same type of protection as any other visiting constitutional monarch. In other words, the U.S. government may find itself in the awkward position of having to provide permanent bodyguards to protect the Shah from thousands of embittered Iranian students here. That could get messy, not to mention expensive. It could also complicate relations with the new regime in Tehran. Two possibilities present themselves for avoiding all this. The government in Iran could dethrone the Shah and relieve the United States of its responsibilities. Perhaps better yet, the Shah could go to Switzerland. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News, at the White House.
Massive demonstrations took place in Iran today. Enormous popular displays of resentment against the Shah, who left the country earlier this week. Also against the civilian government that he approved before departing, and in favor of the exiled religious leader who wants to supplant that government with one that he himself would control. Probably the largest demonstration was held in Tehran, and Bob McNamara describes it.
An Iranian military helicopter is patrolling the airspace over this vast sea of people, the helicopter the only show of presence by the army so far today. Ambulances stand in the crowd ready for any emergency, and twice now we have seen them give people oxygen. Everywhere, the photographs, the paintings, the posters and drawings of Ayatollah Khomeini are held up by the crowd. And the spray painters have been here, too. One sign reads, "The Shah is gone, Bakhtiar is next." Bakhtiar, the prime minister the Shah appointed to run the country to try to preserve the political system that this Muslim-led movement wants to dismantle and replace with an Islamic republic. This is a highly organized demonstration with thousands of marshals keeping order, acting as policemen, keeping this potentially volatile crowd in check. Several times today, however, there have been incidents of near rioting when hundreds tried to surge up to the speaker's platform. Bob McNamara, CBS News, Tehran.
The Shah this morning is still in Aswan, Egypt, and diplomatic sources there say the Iranian monarch will leave Sunday night or Monday morning and visit Morocco at the invitation of King Hassan before coming to the United States. As it watches events in Iran, the Carter administration is walking on eggs, figuratively speaking, and we'll hear about that from CBS News diplomatic correspondent Marvin Kalb.
To say that the U.S. looks upon the Bakhtiar regime as a transitional government is accurate, but officials here do not like the terminology. It suggests that the U.S. might be undercutting the only so-called legal regime in Iran, and in this way playing into Khomeini's hands. But the fact is, the Iranian religious leader regards Bakhtiar's government as illegal. Therefore, slowly, the U.S., as a matter of both policy and expediency, is cozying up to the Khomeini faction. Officials no longer denounce him, though he continues to denounce the U.S. Officials are expanding their contacts with his followers, though not yet with him directly, and one of his top aides may be coming to Washington next week. The U.S. now believes that a return to stability is impossible unless four elements of Iranian society are reconciled to what the U.S. now calls a new national consensus. These elements are Bakhtiar, Khomeini, the army, and the civilian opposition. In real terms, that means the Bakhtiar regime is seen as a transitional government at this point, though officials won't admit it. Marvin Kalb, CBS News, the State Department.
Harold Saunders, Assistant Secretary of State for Near East Affairs, is discussing the Iranian situation today on Capitol Hill. Saunders is appearing before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, which is holding its first formal session of the 96th Congress. Millions of Iranians staged more anti-government demonstrations across Iran today. About 1.5 million of them marched in Tehran, calling for the end of Prime Minister Bakhtiar's government and showing their support for the Ayatollah Khomeini. The religious leader remains in France. He said today that he will assume power either legally or through the force of public opinion. The Shah is still in Aswan, Egypt, and his future remains cloudy. Today, he and Egyptian President Sadat prayed together at a mosque. Iran's Prime Minister Shapur Bakhtiar appears to be heading straight for a confrontation with Ayatollah Khomeini, the Muslim religious leader who says he'll return home from France on Friday and set up an Islamic Republic. Bakhtiar insists that his government will not resign. This morning, a top aide to Khomeini told reporters in Tehran that a revolutionary Islamic council leading to the establishment of a republic will be set up after the Ayatollah returns. The aide said strikes still crippling the country's economy will continue until the Bakhtiar regime quits. Ayatollah Khomeini this morning announced his choice for the leadership of a provisional Iranian government, thus in effect throwing down the gauntlet to Prime Minister Bakhtiar. Khomeini has picked Mehdi Bazargan, a Muslim nationalist and longtime opponent of the Shah, as provisional prime minister. Khomeini wants the regime to serve until a referendum supervised by officials of his own choice. Richard Roth reports from Tehran.
Up to now, the confrontation between the religious leader and the prime minister has been limited to a test of wills, fraught with rhetoric. But the appointment of a provisional government, a shadow government in effect, escalates the competition for power between the two men. A provisional government will give public and private employees who have been on a general strike for more than a month a clear-cut choice to pledge allegiance either to Khomeini or to Bakhtiar. The prime minister has vowed he will not act against a government named by Khomeini unless its members attempt to usurp his power. But Bakhtiar has also said, as recently as last night, that a situation in which there were two competing governments here would be intolerable. Richard Roth, CBS News, Tehran.
Iranian military sources, quoted by the Reuters news agency, say Khomeini has won the support of several thousand officers who either retired or were purged from the armed forces because of opposition to the Shah. Sources say these men are willing to give public support to Khomeini's political moves. Former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, speaking in Los Angeles last night, came up with a depressing assessment of the Iranian situation, and we'll hear about that from David Dow.
In a speech and press conference, Kissinger warned about a wave of radicalism sweeping the Middle East, including, he said, Iran, and said if its spread continued, it could negate some of the gains of any treaty between Israel and Egypt. He said the timing of U.S. pressures for human rights reforms was one of several factors contributing to Iran's current instability, and his assessment of the future was equally gloomy.
If present trends continue, that in 2 years Iran will be less free, less prosperous, less pro-Western, and on the whole less moving towards modernization than was the case previously. We're only at the beginning of this political process. This process didn't end with the Shah's departure. It began with the Shah's departure.
Kissinger later spoke at a fundraising dinner for the Cedars-Sinai Medical Center, whose guests included former President Gerald Ford, former California Governor Ronald Reagan, and the current governor, Jerry Brown. Three men, said Kissinger, willing to step into the sneakers of Jimmy Carter and make Billy Carter a one-term entertainer. David Dow, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Kissinger did provide one encouraging note. He predicted an agreement between Israel and Egypt within the next 2 or 3 months.
Ayatollah Khomeini, you seem to have had some success, you and your followers, in changing the government in Tehran. Do you have any feeling for how long it may be before there is an Islamic state in Iran?
It is very close. Very soon we will announce a new government.
Are we talking about days, weeks?
Probably a few days.
From CBS News, Pontchartrain, France, a spontaneous and unrehearsed news interview on Face the Nation with Ayatollah Khomeini
Iranian religious leader and also political opposition leader to the Shah of Iran. His remarks will be translated by his associate, Dr. Ibrahim Yazdi. Ayatollah Khomeini will be questioned by CBS News correspondent Bert Quint, by Scott Sullivan, bureau chief of Newsweek in Paris, and by CBS News correspondent George Herman.
Ayatollah, you say you expect to be able to announce an Islamic State in a matter of days. Does the timing depend on when the Shah leaves the country?
It is probable that after the departure of the Shah, we will announce that.
Ayatollah, you have said recently that you felt the Shah should be arrested, imprisoned, and tried for his crimes. Now that he appears to be on the verge of leaving, are you going to insist on that kind of punishment? Would you go so far as to prevent his departure from the country?
If you have the power, and if the nation can get him, we will do it. We will not permit him to leave, and we will arrest him for his crime, to be tried and punished. However, if he escapes, wherever he goes, we will ask from the respective government to send him back to Iran for the punishment of the crime that he has committed and to repay for what he has get from the people.
Sir, you say we will do this, and you say that a new government will be announced. As you know, a new government is in the process of being formally installed right now. Obviously, you're talking about a different government. What government are you talking about, and what legal right will it have?
Because the nation has given me the vote of confidence through all these demonstrations, huge demonstrations. They have announced, they have claimed, proclaimed that I am their leader and the only leader. Through this vote of confidence, in the name of the nation, I will appoint a transitional government which will do the preliminary work to bring a permanent government, so the permanent government, through the General Assembly, will be able to do further work.
You will appoint these men. Are these men now in Iran?
Yes, they are in Iran, but however, I cannot reveal at the moment their names.
And when you say the General Assembly, are you talking about the General Assembly now existing, or does it require new elections to get an Islamic General Assembly satisfactory to you?
This parliament is not legal. Since the Shah and his father, we never had any legal parliament. The kind of the parliament that we are going to establish is the type which will be based on the general vote of the people, not to be assembled under the force of the bayonet. This parliament has been established by the bayonet of the Shah or his father, and they have not had any legality. So the kind of the parliament that we are going to establish will be completely different, will be based on the general vote of the people.
What will you do with the government that now exists, the government that's being formed? You say you are going to appoint new persons to take over the government. How will you get rid of the existing government?
Present government is illegal. It is against the wish and the determination of our people and does not have any support. Even the employees of the government has denounced the present government. All the segments of the government, of the people, nation, those that they are in the governmental agencies or not, they have rejected the present government because does not have any base among the masses, so cannot remain and continue. The kind of the government that we are seeking is the one which will come according to the vote of the people, not to come by the decision of one man and the Shah which has lost all his legitimacy and legality and is actually abdicated through the referendum that people made. And the support of that Shah comes from other persons, from people other than the Shah. Unfortunately, the American government has supported the Shah and still supporting. Now they are supporting the government which is appointed by the same Shah. This is indeed a very sad story.
But having said that, Ayatollah, don't you recognize some positive modification in the American government's attitude from your point of view in the last week or so?
Our policy with the American government, if they stop to support this illegal government and stop it, then we do not have any opposition to the American people, and also to the American government, if they stop this support, we will treat them with friendship and justice.
Let me go back just a moment to the question of the election of a new assembly or majlis. In the creation of an Islamic state, in the election of a new assembly, are there going to be two or three political parties, the Islamic party and other rival parties, allowed in such an election?
The parties that they are not involved and engaged in the activity contrary to the national interests of our people, they will be free to act.
How do you determine that?
The recognition is clear. Those people that they are working for the domination of the foreign powers, they are definitely acting contrary to our interests. Those parties or individuals that they are acting for the national interest, they will be allowed to work.
I haven't understood how we reach that point. There is a government, there is an army. How do you get to the point where you can name a government, a provisional government, and make it take effect? Do you anticipate that there will be more bloodshed even with the Shah gone?
After the removal of the Shah, all these solutions will be solved. The whole nation and the segments, areas of the government also are in agreement with us. It is not to say that in the army everyone is for the Shah and supporting the Shah. A great part of the army also has relation with the nation and will act accordingly. At the moment, it is the foreign hands within the army which force the army to act like that. Otherwise, they will be also acting according to our national interests.
Are you suggesting, sir, that Mr. Sanjabi's National Front and some elements of the current government, which you describe as illegal, might join with you in a transitional government? And if they wanted to, would you accept them in the transitional government?
It is possible. We have to study the case.
You talk about different sides within the army, some being in foreign hands, as you put it, and some being with the people. Doesn't that raise the possibility of a civil war? How can you avoid civil war?
Civil war, internal war, is by the provocation of the Shah and the foreign hands. When the Shah goes and the foreign domination ends, I don't think the army will be loyal to the Shah or to wish to follow some traitor. Therefore, I do not foresee any internal war. However, if it happens, then it will be confronted with the determination of the whole nation.
What about the possibility of some Marxist elements producing incidents here and there? And what are your relations with the Marxist elements that may exist in Iran?
There's no relation between us and the Marxists. We are monotheist and we do believe in one God. The Marxist theory is against that. It is atheistic. So one cannot be a Muslim at the same time be a Marxist. And we do not have any concern or fear of their intervention. For a nation of 30 million and some who wants Islam and they are asking for Islam, there is no such possibility. These are the propaganda to distort and create such fear concerning our activity and the struggle.
In the same connection, sir, I wonder if you could tell us something about the kind of relations that you expect the Islamic Republic to have with the Soviet Union. Some of your friends and followers have talked about the possibility that the Muslim population of the southern part of the Soviet Union might want to rejoin an Islamic Republic in Iran. Would you favor or support that? And more generally, what sort of relations do you foresee with the Soviet Union?
Our relation with all nations will be friendly as long as they are not intervening in our affairs, and there is no differences between Russians and Americans or any other countries. As long as they do not interfere in our affairs, and also we do not have any policy to intervene in other people's affairs.
You have spoken out against Israel. Now, what would happen if there were another war in the Middle East? Would you put Iran's army, one of the greatest in the world, into action against Israel?
We are against Israel, and we will never help Israel. We will cut off our diplomatic relation. However, sending our army against Israel in any future probable war needs a thorough study, and at this time, I do not have anything to say on that.
Let me explore a little bit possible future relations with the United States. The Ayatollah has made some remarks about American bases interfering with Iranian independence. He has said that among those who violate human rights, there's no doubt that in the present age, this is Carter, referring, I take it, to the president. And I just would like to understand whether he expects friendly or chilly relations with the United States.
If the United States government sees the continuation of the policy that they have had and do not support the Shah, which has committed so much crime and treason to the country and has appointed the illegal government, which the American government is supporting it, so if they seize that one and they start to have better relation with us and have friendly relation with us, then according to our Islamic teaching, there is no reason for us to be in animosity with them.
What is your own role in this government that is to come?
I would not have any position in the future government as such, being the president or the prime minister. And my job is not to be as such. I will be some sort of supervising their activities. I will give them guidance. And if I see some deviation or some mistake, I will remind them how to correct it, give the general guidance.
You would be, in effect, the strong man of Iran.
In that way, you will be the strong man of Iran. You may assume so.
I wonder if I could pick up again the question of U.S.-Persian relations after the Islamic Republic comes into power. Can you, for example, foresee any circumstances in which the United States might be permitted to maintain any sort of bases in Iran?
The American base could not remain in Iran because they are contrary to Iranian independence.
None of them.
Whatever it is, contrary to our independence.
What would your relationship be with Libya, and what is it now? Are you receiving, and the people who are fighting against the government, receiving any aid from Colonel Gaddafi?
We do not need to receive any help from anyone. We have not received any help, assistance. We will never accept that one. These are all the propaganda, baseless and without any truth.
Where are the arms, the weapons coming from?
But in asle hay ke mijangen as koja miyad?
Millat tayin konad, man itla na daram as koja.
The people are preparing. I do not have any information where they are getting it.
As you must be aware, Ayatollah, there is some worry in the United States over a number of quotations which have been attributed to you from books of your past sermons and sayings. Quotations which seem to say that you have some feeling against Jews, that you have some feeling against banks, that you have some feeling against having men teach women or women teach men. Would you comment?
There is no such things in the books that it is written with me, and if one can find something on the books that has been said related to me, I don't know, I cannot say unless I see. As far as I'm concerned, there's nothing as such in my books. As for the question of the Jews,
and the other religious minorities. Such statements are against our Islamic teaching. Islam respects all other religions. Under the Islamic government, all other minorities, including the Jews, can live freely. And under the Islamic government, even their freedom will be much better and greater than under the Shah's regime. As for the women, it is the Shah's propaganda to spread these lies against our movement. Islam does not have any opposition to the liberty and the freedom of the woman. As for the education, there will be freedom. Whatever Islam is standing against is to destroy the human quality of a woman, which is also those which are contrary to the morality of a society and of a woman.
Does morality of society allow women teachers to teach boys and boy men teachers to teach girls?
There's no prohibition on that.
Ayatollah, perhaps a more immediate concern that's very strongly felt in the United States and Western Europe and Japan is the question of whether an Islamic Republic would be a stable and reliable supplier of petroleum. What can you, or what kind of guarantees can you or will you give to the petroleum consumers about your ability to continue the supply?
The government which is relying on the people, the whole nation, definitely has the stability. Not the government that the whole nation has turned against it. This point that the Islamic government does not have any stability is not correct. That is also a propaganda against our movement. The whole nation is Muslim and they are asking, demanding an Islamic government. They are asking the same thing at the moment. The government which rely on the vote of all the nation and the whole nation is supporting it, definitely enjoying the more stability and also has the power to export the oil to any place that wishes so.
It is not, I presume, any influence of the Shah. It was the words of the Ayatollah speaking himself in an interview on French television, where you said that banks, like movie houses, are destructive institutions and are worthy of being burned.
As for the banks, as you know, the interest is forbidden in Islam, and it is against the interest of a human being. We accept the banks, the banking system, but not the usury and the interest. As for the cinemas, the kind of the cinemas they are in Iran are aimed to corrupt our young people.
I tell you, several of the questions that we've asked recently may be summed up, I think, in one way, and that is the criticism that is made of you as being against progress, against modern material progress. In your view, is Islam compatible with physical material progress, or are they incompatible?
In Islam, the whole program is for the progress of the human being. Islam is not against civilization. The opposition of Islam and Islamic movement is with the barbaric policies of the Shah, which has destroyed the whole country. It is the propaganda of the Shah to spend our dollars in order for this the distortion of the facts in our country and to show to the whole world that our movement is against the progress. Islam is not against any one of the evidence or one of the byproducts of the civilization and the progress and modernization and industrialization. What we are against is with the present system that the Shah has brought, so the foreigners can loot and plunder of our national resources. The whole nation standing firm for their liberty for and the independence of the country. They want their country to be advanced, but it is the Shah who destroyed our agriculture. It is the Shah who has destroyed our economy, our human resources, our army. We are against these policies.
If I may, I would like to go back to the question of the Islamic government and the Islamic state that you project for immediately after the fall of the Shah. If and when that happens, have you communicated with the persons that you expect to take over this government? Do they know themselves who they are? Are they in agreement?
Yes, I have talked with them. They have accepted.
Will all the officers, all the representatives of the Islamic State be Muslims?
Dar majlis,
in parliament, there is a clause and the provision for the participation and representative of the religious minorities. And if the circumstances prescribe, then they can also participate in the government from among the religious minorities. There is no prohibition also in their activity in the governmental agencies.
And you expect Ayatollah to retain this law as it is?
Yes.
I get the impression, sir, that many of the powers that the Shah has now, you would, as the strong man of Iran, take for yourself, but that you would apply them for what you consider good. Is that correct, sir?
No, it is not so. It is not my policy to intervene in the governmental affairs. The government must be and will be supported by the people and rely on the people. What we do, we will propose to the people a kind of the government which will take over based on the vote of the people.
Over the ages, Islam has been quite frequently a martial and military religion. Will the Islamic State of Iran maintain a strong army and a strong military posture?
Yes, we will have a strong force in Iran, but however, we will remove the corrupt individuals from the army.
Ayatollah Khomeini, we've run out of time. I want to thank you very much for being our guest today on Face the Nation.